This is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Kaushik. Before we begin today's show, I want to take a quick moment and thank our sponsor, BuddyBuild. BuddyBuild is a new sponsor from last show that we're super excited to have. They are a continuous integration and delivery platform optimized for mobile development. Now, CI is a great thing to have. Just go back and listen to Don's fragment in episode 12, and you'll know why. Usually, the biggest pain with CI is setting it up, but with BuddyBuild, they make that part super easy. So all you do is just a git push, and they'll kick off a new build, run your UI tests in parallel, and on real devices too, so not just emulators, and then automatically deploy your code. So it covers the complete process right from the start of the build to the deploy. They also have other really cool features like recording data on crashes, providing screenshots, which is pretty neat. And the best part, you can try it completely free today. Just head on to the link fragmentedpodcast.com/BuddyBuild and you can give it a run. Thanks again for sponsoring today's show, BuddyBuild. In our very first episode on Fragmented, it was about testing. The world of Android development was very, very different then. With the release of Android Studio 1.1 then, we're at 2.2 now if you're wondering, the ever-amazing tools team brought in unit testing support. Now, this was a beautiful, beautiful thing because with this came easy JUnit 4 testing. Now, JUnit 4, for those of you who haven't had the pleasure of working with JUnit 3, is revolutionary. I mean, it has many, many amazing features. But I've noticed that not too many people are aware of all of the power that you get with JUnit 4. I was recently adding some tests to one of our apps at Instacart, and I realized, hey, I haven't seen too many examples of this feature being used out in the wild. So I thought maybe I should share it with you folks. So in this fragment, I'd like to talk to you about just one of those features, but it's a really, really good one. And that's parameterized. So what is parameterized? Parameterized is a test runner class that comes with JUnit 4. So you know how you annotate your espresso tests with run with Android JUnit 4.class? You would use the same run with annotation in that very same way. The reason parameterized is so awesome is because it can help you quickly add a wide variety of test cases without actually writing all of that grueling boilerplate code that you would otherwise have to write. Let's take a simple example where this will make more sense. Say you're building a calculator app and you've written a multiply function. For some reason, we don't seem to have this available readily. Now you want to run that baby through a whole bunch of cases. You remember your math tables from school? Yeah, you probably want to run them through the whole thing, right? So 1 times 2 is equal to 2, 2 times 2 is equal to 4, 3 times 2 is equal to 6. You probably get it. Now, writing that down explicitly as test cases can be very tedious. So if you would have to use assert that calculator function.multiply of 3,2 as parameters is equal to 6. Now, imagine if you had to write this for all of your tables. What if you could just substitute your test with parameters and just provide an array of those values? Suddenly, all of that just becomes easy, right? If you could pass an array saying 1,2,2, so 1 times 2 is equal to 2, or 2,2,4, so 2 times 2 is equal to 4, and just like quickly jot down all of those and then run it through this test case, that would be super useful, right? Well, that's exactly what parameterized does. Now, you may start to think, well, I mean, is this really saving me boilerplate code? It's essentially writing the same number of lines, right? Well, in this super trivial, mildly contrived calculator example, yes. But in most real-world cases where you have complex tests and setting the test up in itself can be a little tricky, this can get really, really painful. So having these parameterized tests makes it much more nice because you would probably need to set up the mocks correctly in those complex tests. Those mocks might depend on one of your values being set. Before checking each test, you may have to modify those mocks accordingly. trust me, when you use this in the real world, the boilerplate is cut down like pretty significantly. Also, it's just nice to see your test cases listed out in a clean fixture-like way. And the code that actually executes the test is nice and small. So you know exactly what is happening versus one single giant test method that just has like all of these test cases listed down. It can get pretty overwhelming. Okay, so we have an understanding now of what parameterized is. The next question that comes up is, how do you actually use this? Now, the easiest way to understand this is just to look at an example. I have a blog post in the making with some of these ideas brewing, so at some point I'll try to release that. But in the meantime, there's an excellent source for this example in the Google Samples GitHub repository. In fact, the calculator example that I mentioned previously is lifted just from there. So you can quickly take a look and just understand how all of this parameterized stuff is set up. By the way, shout out to a friend of the show, Jose Alcerica, who's made some of these amazing contributions to the Google Samples repository. Okay, so let's quickly touch on implementation details for the listeners who are probably driving or feeling a tad bit lazy to open up that GitHub link now. By the way, all the links that I mentioned will be available in the show notes. The first step is the runner. Like I mentioned before, you know how you annotate your espresso tests with a runner, like run with Android JUnit4.class, right at the very top of your class declaration. You do the same thing for parameterized tests. So you would say run with parameterized.class. This parameterized.class is actually a test runner. So it tells JUnit4, hey, I want this whole test class to be run a little differently. Don't run it with a standard test runner. Use this one. But remember, this is still pure Pojo territory. Even though I'm saying espresso test, like parameterized is complete Pojo land. So this is amazing because these means all these tests are run on the JVM, which means they're super fast. So that's the runner. The second part, which is the more important part, are the parameters that you pass in. And there are two parts to this. The first is the annotation parameter, singular, and the second is the parameters annotation. Now, this can sound a little tricky, but it's actually pretty simple if you step back and think about where you apply both of these annotations. Your test case obviously would require some method to give you all of this data, right? So it's essentially the entry point for all your fixture data. That method needs to be annotated with parameters, the plural form. Let's dive into this method quickly to understand the details. So you have this method that you're annotating with parameters. The return type of this method is a collection. So in the land of Java, this could be an array list, it could be a list, it could be a set, anything. A collection of an object array. So there are two parts to this. A, why is it an object array? And B, why is it a collection? Because it seems like there's a lot of like grouping going on here, right? Well, each object array represents one test case. And you obviously want to have multiple test cases, right? That's the whole point of parameterized, which is why you have a collection of object array. So one test corresponds to one object array and a collection corresponds to multiple tests. Why is it object? It's an object because you could have anything in your test, right? It could be an integer. It could be a string. At Instacart, when I was using this, it was an order delivery object for me. So that's why it's an object array. That way it allows you to sort of cast it into any object that you want to use for that specific test. So we know why it's a collection. We know why it's object versus any specific class. Now, why is it an array? To understand this, we now also enter into the other parameter annotation, the singular form of the annotation. Now, when you're in your test class, you basically want to assign each of these values to a specific field, because in the end, in your test case, you want to say assert that field one multiplied by field two is equal to field three, or result, if that's what you're calling that specific field, right? With this object array now, what we can do is we can say, hey, at index 0, that is the first position of this array, map it to a specific field. So we would say at index 0, map it to field 1. In the index 1, which is like the second position of the object array, map it to another field, say field 2. At index 2, that is the third position of the object array, we can say map it to this other field called result. And so when you're actually inside the test case, you can just say field 1 into field 2 is equal to field 3. That's the advantage. And the way you map this index position to those specific fields is the singular form of the parameter annotation. So that's why it's actually parameter. It makes sense now, right? So the parameters annotation tells us the list of all the values, and that's against a method. And the singular version of the parameter is against each specific field that maps to the index position in this object array. Now, if you again just see the test case, all this will make sense. It's a little harder to explain purely through audio. Also, an additional exercise. Since you've listened to our last episode on annotations, you should go back and see the source code for all of this. You'll notice that parameters is against a method, parameter is against a field. Looking at the source code now, having some notion of how annotations work, it's a lot of fun. All right, so we have enough information to start writing parameterized tests, and this is great. But when you actually start to use it in the real world, there are some other interesting things that you can do. Because I know all of you love testing and write a lot of tests, so there are some additional niceties you can bring in when you use parameterized. So let's talk about that. You have this amazing test and you want to run it, say, in Android Studio or even your CI, and one of the test cases fails. You'll notice that the error message that is reported is not really that helpful. It basically just shows you the index that failed, and that doesn't necessarily tell you anything. So you might say, it would be nice if you could have a custom message that comes out of that. So for example, say for some reason 4 times 12 failed to be 48. We want that to come out in our test message. And that is totally possible. When you annotate your fixture method with the parameters annotation, you can also supply an additional value, which is a string, and just customize that message. Again, go back and look at the example. Essentially, you can provide a string message, and instead of the specific index, you can just supply with curly braces. So there's like a placeholder value. And when the test case is actually run, it would just use that value. So when the test message is plopped out, it uses the string message. It's pretty straightforward. And I would suggest you use it, because as you start to write many tests and have many cases, it just looks nicer when you have sensible test message reporting. So that's one interesting tidbit. The other one is, well, parameterized tests is cool and all, but sometimes when you're writing your tests, you also want to test edge cases that are not necessarily parameterized, right? But you don't want to create a whole new test class just for this. You want to also just add one more edge case. So for say you want to divide by 0 and that should throw a mathematical exception, you also want to just have that in the context of the same test, right? Because that's exactly what I wanted when I was writing my test cases. I had 2 or 3 edge cases with this whole bunch of parameterized tests, but I want them to belong to the same class, so I have context of like the set of tests that are running. There isn't a built-in way of doing this, but there's a very nice hack of sorts that you can do, and this is using another test runner class called enclosed. The limitation when you use parameterized, the run with annotation, is that that's applicable on your whole class, right? So that's the test runner for every single test case in that class. All you have to do then is inside your parent test class, have 2 inner static classes, one being the parameterized test class, and in the other test class, you can have individual test cases. But the trick here is these 2 child classes must belong to a parent test class, and that parent test class needs to be annotated with enclosed. And the reason you have to do this is so that JUnit 4 understands that, hey, this is an enclosed test class, which means go in and look at the child classes, because there are possibly tests that need to be run in those child classes. Again, this is easier explained in code than in audio. So what I'll do is I'll actually drop a gist of how I usually structure my classes when I do this. And you'll find a link to that in our show notes. So have a look at that. It'll be pretty clear. All right, that's it for today's show, folks. I hope you enjoyed this fragment. You can, with this parameterized test runner, you can reduce a whole bunch of test boilerplate code. The other advantage with this is it opens us to the field of what is called generative testing. Now, we'll probably have a future episode on that, or maybe like a blog post on that, but that's also a very cool sort of mechanism of testing. So stay tuned for that. Thank you all, and we will catch you in the next episode. We also want to thank our sponsor for today's show again, BuddyBuild. Thousands of mobile development teams love BuddyBuild because it's the fastest way to build, test, distribute, and gather feedback on their apps. So make sure you also give BuddyBuild a try if you're looking to set up a CI. Use our special link, fragmentedpodcast.com/BuddyBuild. Thanks again, BuddyBuild.